Welcome to Osho Radio. We have a beautiful discourse for you from Osho. Some special, peculiar music, some very beautiful music, and we have a small meditation for you.
Your heart is beating harmonies of joy. You have turned my sorrow into golden wings. The desert turns to garden when you're
song out.
beloved, you're my own true friend. This love for you could never find an end. And as this yes comes to my lips, my head is gently bowing down. And as this yes comes to my lips, my head is gently bowing down.
Massimo created a beautiful project called Music is Love, and we'll play some of his music now. He is from Napoli, and you can tell from his music he is a real Italian minstrel.
Sto passarigno, canto e vado via, è la mia natura, terra è casa mia, e guardando il cielo mi ricorderò che quando è passato io li volerò. Passa passarigno, canta e vola via, che quando è passato torno a casa mia. Passarigno, canto e volo via, è la mia natura, terra è casa mia, e guardando il cielo mi ricorderò che quando è passato io li volerò. Lai 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 lai.
The discourse is from The Secret number 16, and the issue is man who has always been a machine and has always been a slave and has always carried the longing to be free. Osho is saying the mechanization of today, of the modern age, shows more than ever how true this is. What is the longing for freedom really all about? In this discourse, Osho explains to us there's one thing that computers cannot do, but only men can do. Thank you.
Man has always been a machine. Industrialization has only revealed the truth. It is a great revelation. Man has always lived in slavery. But the slavery was not so apparent, was not so penetrating. There was always an illusion of freedom. The mechanization of all that you are surrounded with has made you aware that you are also nothing but a machine. You have always been that. Buddhas have always been telling you that you exist unconsciously, that you exist like a robot, that you are not yet a man. But illusions persisted. The modern world has taken the last illusion from you. It has revealed the truth to you, that you are nothing but a machine, efficient, inefficient, but a machine. It had to be so only, because when you live with machines, then only you can become aware of your machine-like existence. You had always lived with trees and animals and people. And it had always given you the false idea that there is freedom. Freedom exists only when you are utterly conscious. Only a Buddha is free. Freedom is in Buddhahood. Nobody else is free. Nobody else can be free. But people can believe. It is a very consoling illusion. The modern world has taken your illusion away from you. And it is good. Because now a great desire to be free will arise. A great longing to attain to something beyond the machine. For example, computer has proved that howsoever efficient you are in your mind does not make you really a man. Because that can be done better by a computer than your mind. Now the people who used to do beautiful mathematics will be offended because the computer can do it in a far better way. And the work of the computer is so fast that they say, if a problem will take for a great mathematician to solve it 70 years of his whole life, working day in, day out, the computer can solve it within a second. Now, what is the lesson to be learned? That the brain is nothing but a biocomputer. Without the computer, it would never have been revealed to you that your brain is a computer. With the computer, now, the people who think they are great intellectuals, mathematicians, scientists, specialists, are all reduced to machines. It was not possible 2000 years before. There was no way to know that the mind functions as a machine, that mind is nothing but a machine. Just one thing the computer cannot do. It can be logical, but it cannot be loving. It can be rational, but it cannot be meditative. A computer cannot meditate, a computer cannot love. And that is the hope. And that is where man can still go beyond machines. You can love. Your love will be the decisive factor in the coming days. not logic. The computer is perfectly logical, more logical than any Aristotle. Not mathematics. The computer is more mathematical than any Albert Einstein. The computer is going to solve all problems. The computer will solve every problem that scientists used to take years to solve. It can solve within seconds. Sooner or later, science will go into the hands of computers. The scientist will be needed only to operate the computer, that's all. The computer can do it far more quickly, far more efficiently, with less and less possibility of making any errors. This is something tremendously significant. It can make you very much frightened. It can give you the idea so that there is nothing left. Man is a machine. But it can also fill you with great hope that now the computer has revealed that the head is not man's real reality. Now we have to search for the heart, because the computer has no heart. Only by searching our heart, only by allowing our heart to dance and sing and love, we will be able to retain the glory and dignity of being man. Otherwise it is gone. The future looks bleak to you because you only see to the darker side of the phenomenon. You are not aware of its lighter side. I see the dawn coming very close. Yes, the night is very dark, but the future is not bleak, not at all. In fact, for the first time in human history, millions of people will be able to become Buddhas. It was very rare to become a Buddha in the past, because it was very rare to become aware of the mechanicalness of man. It needed great intelligence to be aware that man is a machine. But now it will not need any intelligence at all. It will be so obvious that man is a machine. And you say the destruction of the forests and the pollution of the air and the sea, so that it is uncertain whether the environment can maintain its delicate balance. Can the world support another West? That is one of the most beautiful things about science and technology. It creates problems just to solve them. And only the problem can be solved when it has been created. Then it becomes a challenge. Now the greatest challenge before technology is how to maintain the balance of nature, how to maintain ecological harmony. It was never before there. It is a new problem. For the first time, the West is facing a new problem. We have lived on this earth for millions of years. Slowly, slowly, we have been growing technologically more and more expert. But we have not yet been able to destroy the natural balance. We were yet a very small force on the earth. Now, for the first time, our energy is bigger, far more bigger than the earth's energy to keep its balance. This is a great phenomenon. Man has become so powerful that he can destroy the natural balance. But he will not destroy. Because to destroy natural balance means he will be destroyed himself. He will find new ways, and new ways are being found. The way to regain the delicate balance of nature is not by renouncing technology. It is not by becoming hippies. It is not by becoming Gandhians. No, not at all. The way to regain the balance of nature is superior technology, higher technology, more technology. If the technology can destroy the balance, why technology cannot regain it? Anything that can be destroyed can be created. And now it is almost feasible to float cities in the sky, in the air, in big, enormous balloons. There is no need for men to live on the earth, and it will be really beautiful. Floating cities in the air. And the green earth below you. Huge forests. Again, as the earth used to be before men started cutting forests, the earth can again become the same. You can come for holidays back to the earth. It is possible now to float cities in the ocean, and that will be beautiful. It is possible now to make underground cities, so the earth, its greenery, its beauty is not destroyed. You can live in air-conditioned cities underneath the earth. You can come once in a while for your Sunday prayers to the earth and go back. It is possible for man now to be transported to another planet. Moon may become our next colony. Moon may become our habitation. The way is not by regressing back. It is not possible to regress back. Now men cannot live without electricity. And men cannot live without all the comforts that the technology has made available. And there is no need either. It will become so poor a world. You don't know how man has lived in the past. Always starving. Always ill. You don't know how man has lived in the past. People have forgotten. You don't know how much was the average age in the past. If 20 children were born, only 2 will survive. Life was very ugly. And without machines, there was slavery. It is only because of machines that slavery has disappeared from the earth. If more machines come, then more slavery will disappear. Horses will be free again. If more cars are there, oxen will be free again. If more machines are there to their work, animals can be free again. Freedom was not possible without machines. If you drop machines, man will again become a slave. There will be people who will start dominating and forcing. You see, the pyramids, they look so beautiful, but each pyramid was made in such a way that millions of people died in making it. That was the only way to make it. All the beautiful palaces of the world and the forts, much violence has happened. Only then they could be made. The Great China Wall. Millions of people died in making it. They were forced. Generations of people were forced to just make this China Wall. Now people go and see and they have completely forgotten that it represents a very ugly chapter of history. For the first time, electricity and technology has taken all the work. Man need not do it. Technology can free man absolutely from work, and the earth can be for the first time playful. Luxury is possible for the first time. There is no need to go back. The way is ahead. One has to go to superior technology that can rearrange the balance. The earth can really become paradise. I am all for science. My religion is not against science. My religion absorbs science in itself. I believe in a scientific world. And through science, a great religion, greater religion than ever, is going to happen to man. Because when man will be really free to be playful, and there will be no need to work, tremendous creativity will be released. People will paint, and people will play music, and people will dance, and people will write poetries, and people will pray, and people will meditate. Their whole energy will be free to soar high. Only a small part of humanity has been creative, because all other people have been forced to do futile things which can be done by machines more easily without any trouble to anybody. Millions of people are simply laboring their whole life. Their whole life consists only of perspiration. There is no inspiration. This is ugly. This should not be. And this is possible only for the first time. Just think, the whole humanity freed from the imprisonment of labor. Then the energy will start moving into new directions. People will become adventurers, explorers, scientists, musicians, poets, painters, dancers, meditators. They will have to, because the energy will need some expression. Millions of people can bloom like Buddhas. I am tremendously hopeful about the future. I am in favor that the East should be westernized. Because westernization means nothing but modernization. Forget the word West. Westernization means modernization. More technology, more science, more industrialization, and higher technology, so that we can save this earth and its delicate ecological balance. The East has to be modernized, and then the future is not bleak. But the greatest problem is that the Eastern mind is against modernization. Their old traditions are great blocks. Their conditioning of the mind is such that they are committing suicide, and they think that they have great culture and great values and great ideas, and it is all rotten. And because of that rotten past, they cannot understand the modern explosion of great knowledge that can transform this earth into a real paradise. These old patterns have to be destroyed. People ask me, particularly Indians, what you are doing to help India to get out of its poverty. That's what actually I am doing. Because to me it is not a question only of going and distributing clothes to poor people. That is not going to help. It is not a question of distributing anything. It is not a question of charity. It is a question of changing their mind and their structure of thinking. But then the problem arises, they will be the most antagonistic to me. This is how life is paradoxical. What I am saying can change the fate of the East. It can transform its whole ugliness into beauty. But the Eastern people will be the most against me. Because whatsoever I will say will go against their conditioning, their ideas, settled ideas for centuries. That's why you don't see many Indians here. The Western mind immediately feels a deep affinity with me. It is because I am always in favor of the modern, of the new. The Western mind can understand me immediately. It feels a great alikeness. But the Eastern mind simply feels agitated. The moment the Eastern mind hears what I am saying, he becomes annoyed, antagonistic. He starts defending himself. He has become too much attached to his mind, and his mind is the cause of all his problems. Those problems he wants to change, but the mind he clings, and that is not possible. First the mind has to be changed, only then those problems will disappear. For example, the whole East suffers from a repressed sexuality, great repression. But again and again, they go on insisting that they have great ideas of celibacy, great ideas of character, morality. And those are the ideas which are making them repressed. Those are the ideas that are keeping them unflowing. Because once your sexuality is repressed, your creativity is repressed. Because sex energy is your creative energy. It is God's way of helping you becoming creative. Sex is creativity. The man who has repressed his sex will not be able to create anything. He will be stuck. Now, what to do with the East? If you tell them to become a little more loving, a little more sensuous, a little more sensate, they immediately are against you. They say, then why? Buddha has said this and Mahavira has said that. You are teaching materialism. I am simply teaching you totality. And let me say it to you, that Buddha's approach is not total. It is partial. But I can understand him. Because if you are against me, now, 25 centuries after Buddha, if Buddha had said these things that I am saying to you, how much against you would have been? I can understand why He never told you about the total growth of human beings, why he had to remain partial. Even that was too much for the Indian people, and Buddhism was thrown outside the country. Even that was too much. If he had talked the way I am talking, you would have immediately killed him. It was not possible. The climate was not ready for him to talk you in total terms. I am taking the risk of talking you in total terms and creating unnecessary troubles for myself. I can also go on teaching that old stupid kind of spirituality, and the country will be very proud of me, and they will worship me. But I am not interested in being worshipped, and I am not interested in India being proud of me. My whole interest is how to change this country's rotten mind, how to give it a new vision. But they will be against me, although what I am doing is their only hope. I don't think that the future is bleak. The future is very hopeful, very bright. It has never been so before. Because for the first time, man is coming closer and closer to a point where he can be freed from all work. Man, for the first time, can live in luxury. And to live in luxury is to be ready to move inwards, because then there is no hindrance on the outside. Then you can simply move inwards. You will have to move inwards. The outer journey is finished. All that can be attained in the outside world has been attained. Now a new adventure. What happened to Buddha can happen to whole humanity in the future. He lived in luxury. He was the son of a king. And because of that luxurious living, he became aware. Because there was no problem on the outside, he could relapse into himself. He could find ways and means how to enter inwards. He became interested in knowing, who am I? What happened to Buddha can happen to whole humanity if the whole humanity becomes rich, outwardly rich. To be outwardly rich is the beginning of inward richness. And I teach you a religion which implies science in it. And I teach you a religion which is sensate, sensuous. I teach you a religion which accepts the body, loves the body, respects the body. I teach you a religion which is earthly, earthy, which loves this beautiful earth, which is not against the earth. The earth has to be the base of your heavenly flight. Thank you.
there's a breeze that whispers hello. Always in times when I need nothing more than what I've gotten, what is right now. Love is a breeze, I can't make any vows. Love is a breeze, my friend, whispering without an end. Love is a promised land, deep inside our hearts. Life has so much to give today, we just let it live. Moving out of its way, love is free to come and stay.
Have a Zen saying for you that Osho commented upon, and it is by the Zen master Sōsen. The great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. When love and hate are both absent, everything becomes clear and undisguised. Make the smallest distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. If you wish to see the truth, then hold no opinion for or against. The struggle between what one likes and what one dislikes is the disease of the mind. It is a beautiful saying by Sōsen. We can just look at this every day in our own lives.
Your voice in my ears. Thank you for the way this feels. Love is a breeze, my friend, whispering without an end. Love is the promised land.
The music you listened to was by Ashik, Suboda, Massimo, some music from the world of Osho, and The Atmospheres. This was Osho Radio. We hope you enjoyed the program and that you'll be with us again next week too. Bye-bye.